Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
As required by what has been dubbed Obamacare, even President Obama now uses that term, Governor Cuomo is establishing a health insurance exchange in New York State. But will it be an exchange that will empower consumers or insurance companies more? Joining me now to talk about what's at stake is Elizabeth Benjamin, Vice President of Health Initiatives at the Community Service Society and a founder of the Healthcare for All New York campaign. Elizabeth, welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you, Brian.
You are one of the health reform advocates who the governor's executive order establishing the exchange. You praise the governor's executive order establishing the exchange, which came recently. Tell us about that.
Basically, when federal health reform was passed, what the federal government and Congress decided to do was let states have the option of either setting up their own health insurance exchanges, and these are marketplaces like Costco's, where people can go and buy health insurance sort of at bulk. They can get wholesale prices instead of retail prices for health insurance, because essentially it pools everyone's risk into one place. So instead of being an individual going out by yourself to buy coverage where you have almost no bargaining power, you plus a million other people will be able to buy health insurance through an exchange. And, of course, because it's you and a million other people, the insurance companies will drop their prices. So that's the way the health reform system is going to be set up. And the idea is to build off our existing insurance marketplace, which is basically employer-sponsored coverage, and sort of keep moving, and that's really operated and provided through private insurance companies. My understanding in 2010 is that there wasn't a real appetite nationally, and since even this only passed by two votes, for doing anything that would destabilize the whole current system we have, which would be, for example, adopting Medicare for All, which many people favor as a perhaps more efficient way to run the healthcare delivery system. But in 2010, Congress did enact health reform. The federal the president signed it, and these exchanges are sort of a linchpin, because people will now be required to carry coverage. Like, you can't drive a car without having car insurance in the same way. You can't, there's certain exceptions, but most people will be required to have health insurance.
Right. And we will see, of course, if that is upheld by the U.S. Supreme Court and the governor's executive order creating an insurance exchange for New York assumes that the law remains in effect.
Yes.
But then the question becomes what kind of health insurance exchange? When you were here almost a year ago, as the first deadline for the exchange was looming, you said there were two kinds of exchanges, the Utah or passive model, which you don't like so much, and the Massachusetts or active model, which you think would be a lot better for New Yorkers. What's the difference?
Well, I mean, the reason why the executive order had to be enacted, why the governor had to do that, is because we were really facing this incredible deadline. We have to have in order for New York to move forward with health reform, we have to have our state exchange up and running by January 1st, or we default to a federally run, what they call it, a federally facilitated exchange, which would just be a giant, federal exchange that states like Texas and whatnot will be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so we wanted our own exchange for this very reason that you're now, articulating, Brian. We wanted an exchange where New York could be tailored to New York's interests. We could have New York's consumer protections, New York's state mandates. For example, in New York, you have the right to go to, a woman has the right to go to an OBGYN without getting a referral from your primary care doctor at least once a year. And if you're pregnant, you have the right to have your OBGYN sort of coordinating all your care in New York. We want those consumer protections. In New York, you have the right to have an external appeal. If you disagree, an external review agent look at your disagreement when you have a dispute with a health insurance plan. In New York, we have the right to have our state regulators check out the proposed rate increases before insurance companies adopt them. So we wanted all these great consumer protections we have in New York, most notably guaranteed issue and community rating, where insurance companies are really barred from discriminating in New York, and the insurance companies, you know, have to provide insurance coverage to everybody. So these are all great protections, and, you know, New York has the opportunity now to enshrine them in this exchange. The other thing that we have the opportunity to do, there are two models out there in the country. There is the Massachusetts model, which, you know, we have a more active purchaser, and as a result, the rate of increases in health insurance in Massachusetts are much lower than elsewhere in the country, and certainly lower than they were experiencing prior to the adoption of their health reform. In Utah, you have a very small exchange. It's sort of a clearinghouse model where all of the different insurance products, sort of any insurance company who wants to post their coverage can do so. And it's a different approach. I think New York will want to continue its sort of vigorous consumer protections. And I think, you know, we're on the path now. And so it's an exciting time.
Advocates say the exchange can actually lower the cost of health care by bringing enough competition to this notoriously uncompetitive field. I guess that's what you're saying has happened in Massachusetts.
And it's not even advocates. The Urban Institute, which is a, you know, nonpartisan institute, you know, analytical consultant for the state of New York, is estimating that individual premiums under the health insurance exchange, assuming there's an individual mandate and that continues, will come down by 66%. So right now it's over $1,200 per month on the individual market. So if you wanted to go out and buy health insurance for yourself, it would be $1,200. You would have to pay $1,200 to get a decent product and not some fly-by-night thing, or it'd be $3,400 for a family of four. Those prices will come down by 66% in 2014, according to the Urban Institute. And small businesses who have been shedding coverage over the last decade, remember, small businesses in New York have dropped 800 employees off of their rolls, their insurance prices will go down by 22%. So that's quite significant, too, for, you know, because small businesses are truly the engine of growth in New York State, and we want to support them. And so they'll have an exchange that's just set up for them.
I guess it makes sense in theory that if there's more competition, that is more insurance companies vying for the individual's business or the small business's business, that would lower prices. And yet critics point to Medicare Part D, the prescription drug part of Medicare, as evidence that market competition among health insurers does not actually cut costs. Do you have an opinion about that?
Well, I mean, I think Part D is a sort of a complicated issue, but I think what's going to happen is, as a result of the individual mandate, there will be less uncompensated care. So, for example, we spend around $600 million or almost $800 on everybody's insurance price tag each year. So it's about $800 a year for each of us that have insurance to pay for the costs of people without coverage. So right now we have 2.7 million uninsured New Yorkers. Some portion of those folks ended up in hospitals over the year, and we have to sort of compensate our hospital system, and we do so through this charity care pool quite significantly. Around $600 million a year goes into, and actually it's even more than that in New York every year, to pay for uncompensated care. And so we, by sort of eliminating this sort of irrationality, if you will, in the system by having all these uninsured folks out there, we can really start driving down prices. The other thing is at some point, you know, there really are economies of scale. If you're just insuring, you know, a couple of people here or there, and the carriers have, you know, whatever, 800 or 900 different products, and each niche product is developed for every tiny little group, that's not so efficient. But if you, in the exchange, if you can, you will have sort of certified health plans, there'll be less health plans, right? So there'll be a lot more standardization. Consumers will be able to do, and small businesses will be able to do an apples-to-apples comparison. They'll say, they run these precious metals. So they say, okay, here's the cheap bronze plans, Then there's slightly better silver plans, the gold plans, and the platinum plans. And people can sort of be able to do a real comparison. Well, they'll be able to see their doctors. They'll be able to see their deductibles. They'll see their co-insurance, their co-payments. And it's just going to regularize the system. There's so much irrationality, and all that irrationality in our current sort of wild, wild west system is expensive. And so this, you know, the exchange will really regularize it. That helps the bulk purchasing. The mandate will really draw prices together. And I think we're, you know, it's time to get going on all this.
Who makes the decision as to what kind of exchange we have? Is it the governor by himself?
Well, yeah. Unfortunately, they did in the executive order do. I mean, this is where I feel like the Senate. I mean, I think the Assembly did pass the original bill. The Senate was had agreed upon a bill last spring, and this is where I think the Senate really lost a lot of influence by digging in their heels and deciding not to go for an exchange in the budget when the deal fell apart last spring.
Mm-hmm.
Because there were the Senate had wanted to set up these. You know, they would have been appointing board of directors. We would have had a public authority that would have been accountable. Now we're going to have the Department of Health, which will be accountable, of course, but they're going to set up advisory committees. But I think that our legislature will have much less influence just by definition of not having, you know, board appointees anymore. And, you know, the advisory councils can meet, but there won't be all the sort of rules of engagement that was in the actual agreed upon bill. So in that way, I'm sort of surprised that the Senate you know, didn't go ahead and come to the table to pass the law. No matter what, we needed to get going right now.
I guess the Senate Republicans, like Republican governors in some other states, decided they did not even want to give the Obama health reform law the respect of passing the legislation that would implement it, just in case it's struck down, because the Republican Party so opposes the very existence of it. But you're saying by taking that position, they gave more power to Governor Cuomo, who was able to create these exchanges through executive order, and now we'll be able to decide what kind of exchange through executive order. We got to go, but just tell me when that decision will be made. Is there a date?
The executive order was issued last week.
Well, I know, but the one setting up what kind?
You know, that'll be over the next couple of months. They'll probably know by, I would say, January 1st, 2013. So that's when it has to be certified by the federal government.
Elizabeth Benjamin, Vice President of Health Initiatives at the Community Service Society and a co-founder of the Health Care for All New York campaign. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Brian. Bye.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC coming up next, the authors of a book called The President's Club. It's about how past presidents relate to the one in office. Very fascinating stories from the past and some from the present, including how President Obama relates to his predecessor. Stay with us.